Hi everyone, welcome back for episode 9 of Cook Talk. I'm your host, Dougie Penman, and I'd just like to thank everyone for sticking with us. Last week we had a week off and it was just a wee break, that was all. Hopefully the wait will be worth it when you see who tonight's guest is. And honestly, if you've clicked on the podcast, you'll know who it is. But for those watching the video podcast, I'm currently modelling the brand new retro Pennycook Athletic 1970 Junior Cup Final shirt, which was designed in partnership with Appen Sports to commemorate the 50th anniversary of Pennycook reaching our only Junior Cup Final against Blantyre Vicks. So really nice fit. I generally think this top is going to be really, really popular with our supporters when you see it up close. It's a really nice fit. It's a nice fit. Material is really nice and feels comfortable to wear. And like I say, I can see it being really popular. So if you're interested, please have a look at www.pennycookathleticstore.co.uk. The link on the video pod is down below my face, probably somewhere here if I've pointed right. And if you're listening to the audio pod, it will be in the description. So, like I said, hopefully the wait for tonight's pod has been worth it, as I'm delighted to be joined tonight by our Fife and Lothians Cup-winning left-back and a genuine modern-day Pennycook legend with Mikey McDermott. So, Mikey, welcome to Cook Talk. How are you?
I'm good, Dougie. Good. Trying to contest the coronavirus, living in the house with two kids. It's had its challenges, put it that way. But we're coming through the other side, slowly but surely. But yeah, apart from that, doing well, working from home. All good. Everyone's good. Yourself?
I'm fine, just still working away, doing the podcast and try to keep on top of it. Watching your Instagram and seeing you sharing a beer with Keith Barr.
I've been listening to your podcast. They've been brilliant. Really, really good. Keep up the good work.
Thank you very much.
It'll be an entertaining one.
I'm sure it will be. You've been high up the list since I started games as well. So what we're going to do tonight is we're going to have a wee look, sort of an overview of your career overall, but obviously focusing on your time at Pennycook. But I think when you've had as trophy-laden a career as yours, you can't really ignore the time before the cookie. you joined Bonnie Rigros in 2001 from East Housie's Lily under-21s, where you'd won two Scottish Cups under Rolly Pearson. But how was the transition from youth football into junior football at that time?
Well, at that time, I listened to Paul Tansey's podcast and heard a similar thing going from 20s to into the junior setup. So at that time, you were basically leaving a changing room full of kids, boys, young men, and you were walking in a changing room with grown men, adults, seasoned pros, basically. I went in a changing room with Graham Harvey, Jackie Miles, Stephen Ramsey, Davy Watt, Ali Reid, these kind of guys. Those guys have got hundreds of senior appearances. Graham Harvey scored goals at the top end of the SPL in Scotland. So to move from a boys' club changing room and going to a man's changing room like that, it was a big transition, to be honest. I kind of sat quietly. I found a wee corner, sat quietly in it, and tried to go about my business quite quietly.
I'm sure that lasted long. and your second season at Bonnyrigg, you lifted the Deasty Scotland Cup, your first medal at junior level, and then the first of many, shall we say. And that was sort of maybe the highlight of your first spell at Bonnyrigg. But you had a brief spell at Owl Athletic in 2004, and I think when I say the research I've done for this was maybe the bit that got you, when I said that you made your senior debut in the 63rd minute against Stirling Albion on the 21st of August 2004 for Paul McLaughlin.
I don't know where you pulled that from. I don't even think there was any record of me being at Alloa.
A wee Google search.
Yeah, so my spell at Alloa was really, really short-lived. To be honest, I wasn't particularly in a very good place at that time of my life. My dad had just passed away, and I was basically, I think for about an 18-month period to 2 years, I was almost in a bubble. You know, I speak to my mum about, you know, that time in our lives, and she's the same. You know, there's about an 18-month period where I honestly, literally can't remember hardly anything in that period. And it was at that period I was at Alloa. One thing I did do at Alloa, though, is I played against Hibs at Easter Road in the league. I came on as a sub in that game as well, but that was a dream come true for me, being a lifelong Hibs fan. So I came off the bench in that game, and all my mates were there. They were giving me belters, playing for Alloa against Hibs. But that was probably my highest point, playing for Alloa. As I say, it didn't last long. Wasn't in a great place. I went back to Bonnyrigg. I think you said it was October.
Yeah.
You'll know that for me, because I can't remember. It was October, I went back to Bonnyrigg. And I remember the decision I made. We were playing Forfar away. We left about 10:30 in the morning, pre-match meal, go to the game. I'm on the bench, didn't play a minute. And then there was hospitality after the game. I ended up getting home after midnight or something that night. And then I just said to myself, I just want to go and play football. I probably could have stuck at it a wee bit more, tried a wee bit harder to try and break into the team. But at that stage of my life, I just wanted to go and play football. So it was very short. I lived the Alloa. The Alloa days. You did well getting that up, did you?
I can't find any record of your Easter Road appearance, to be fair.
I came on for Dougie Hill. Dougie Hill's at Brechin. He's at Brechin now still. I came on for Dougie Hill. You'll need to Google it when you finish the interview.
I'll put that in when I do the post production. and your second spell at Bonnyrigg, you won the Brown Cup 2 years in a row, and then you also won the East of Scotland Cup in your final season. But can you sort of sum up your time at Bonnyrigg over your two spells and how that helped develop you as a player?
Yeah, so coming out of the 21s, came out a pretty successful East Houses team, to be honest, and played with a lot of good players in that team. A lot of them actually went on to have pretty decent senior careers. So we had a very good team then. So moving into Bonnyrigg, there was a lot of guys that were in the team from senior teams. So I was kind of me and James Morris, yeah, who ended up being Bonnyrigg captain. Me and James, I think Paul McCluskey as well. We came in at the same time from that age group. And we were kind of the younger players coming through. And I think junior football was starting to change at that time. A lot of younger players were coming through at lots of other different teams. So to sum it up, I see me, James and Paul kind of kicking that new age off. I think as the years were going by, younger players were coming in, and it actually started to create a better balance within the team. So a lot of the older guys at Bonnyrigg moved on. We actually ended up I felt we underachieved at Bonnyrigg, especially the team I was in, with guys like David Burrell, Mark Robertson, Paul Riley, Sean Grady, who else? Stevie Laidlaw, Lee Bailey, all these types of guys. We were a brilliant team. John Elliott as well, Lee Chalky. What a team we had. I think the notes that you sent on, we missed out in the Super League on goal difference 1 year. And that season, I think we lost our first 4 or 5 league games in a row. And the fans were wanting Pat Glynn to be moved on and sacked. And after the fourth, it was either 4 or 5 games lost on the bounce. After that 4th or 5th game, we never lost a league game the rest of the season. So I don't have many regrets in football, but when you get to the end of the season and you realise that you've lost the league on goal difference, and you think to those 5 games at the start of the season, you kind of kick yourself a wee bit. But yeah, we won a few cups. We were good, you know, we were a good team. I felt we underachieved a wee bit though with the quality that we had, and with a lot of really good players in that team. Strength and depth was really, really strong. Boys coming off the bench at certain times, and and making a difference. And I think that's what you need. It's fair enough having a strong 11, I think, in your team. But when you've got decent enough quality coming off the bench that are chipping in with goals or assists or whatever, yeah, it absolutely helps. And he had that. So yeah, a couple of trophies, which was nice.
And then in 2006, you moved the move to Preston Field to join Linlithgow Rose under Jim Sinnott. And you talked about having maybe the regret of not winning the Super League at Bonnyrigg. Ironically, your first year at Linlithgow, you beat Bonnyrigg to the Super League title and also claimed your first Junior Cup. But how important was it for you to hit the ground running at Linlithgow and be lifting trophies right away?
Very important. As soon as I came into the Junior League, Linlithgow were always the team to beat. They were the biggest club in the East Region. They had the best players, they had the best pitch, they had the most fans. That's what it was back then. So I remember playing against them the very first time and thinking, wow, I was blown off my feet, to be honest. I thought, what a team. Thought to myself, I'd like to get there, play for them someday. Luckily, Jim Sinnott liked what he saw, and my contract at Bonnyrigg was coming to an end. So he came in and I decided to go. He told me about the players that he was looking to bring in. And yeah, went for it. I was quite excited about it.
Yeah. So let's see, you won the Super League and the Junior Cup, but just how special was it to lift your first Junior Cup, beating Kelty Hearts 2-1 at East End Park?
Very special. I think for every junior player, it's all different now because it's East of Scotland and it's, what is it, under the senior umbrella now. But back then, it was all about the Scottish Junior Cup, and that was the holy grail, so to speak. Every year, it was, you need to go far in the Scottish, you need to try and win the Scottish. So to do it my first year at Linlithgow was amazing, to be honest. We actually had quite a difficult run to get there. We played Coulter, who they had won the Aberdeen Super League the year before, so we were away there. We beat them. I think we played Lochee, Pollock, Atherley, and we played great in all these games, and we got Kelty in the final, and we were terrible, to be honest. It was a very forgettable final until the last 15 minutes, I think. We scored late on, they equalised, and then it went to extra time. We scored with the last kick or the last header of the game, Mark White, to win it. And it was, yeah, it was amazing, but it was a very forgettable final, I have to be honest. but it was good. Again, the cup finals were generally played through the West and used Rugby Park quite a lot. But because it was two teams to the East, they used East End Park at Dunfermline. So I think there was about 11,000 people in attendance. So yeah, it was good. I've never played in front of a crowd like that before. And so it was nervous, very nervous, but and tried to enjoy it and soak up as much as I could.
And another highlight of your time at Linlithgow would be the Scottish Cup in 2007-08. You got to the fourth round where you played Queen of the South, who eventually went on to the final against Rangers. But what was that experience like, your first real foray into the Scottish Cup?
Really good. We were excited. I think we were one of the first junior teams to be invited in, due to, I think it was, you had to either win the Scottish Cup or your Super League to get invited in, I think. So I think there was maybe two or three representatives from the region or from Scotland in junior. So yeah, it was exciting. We played, I think our first game, we played a Southern Division team, won comfortably. But the big game I remember was against Spartans at Preston Field. And it was built up as junior versus East of Scotland. And I always remember through my whole time of playing junior football, it was always argued what was the stronger league, you know, East of Scotland, where you had your Spartans, White Hills, you know, teams like that, and then you had your junior league where you had Bonnyrigg, Linlithgow's. So we beat them quite convincingly, but That day, I think it was 4-1 we beat them. Again, I think there was about pretty big crowd. There was maybe about 2,000 there, which was a great crowd to play in front of. So the whole experience was fantastic. And then obviously to get drawn against a championship side, Queen of the South, was brilliant to go down there and play against them. Obviously, they're a full-time team. I think Stephen Dobie played for them as well. I think he scored a couple.
I think he was at that point, aye.
I think he maybe moved down south after that season, if I remember correctly. But yeah, he gave Kevin, big Kevin Donnelly, our centre half. Kev was a great guy and a great player. I felt sorry for him that day because he was up against basically almost like a higher championship English, lower premierships type footballer. And he gave him a torrid time that day. I feel sorry for Kevin, but experience wise it was brilliant, absolutely brilliant. And remember it till the day I die. Those experiences are fantastic.
And then in your final year at Linlithgow, you lifted the Junior Cup for a second time. You beat Largs at Rugby Park this time, but what was that experience like for you to sign off your time at Linlithgow with a second Junior Cup medal?
Bittersweet, because at that time I wasn't involved really in the playing side of things. I hadn't had a fallout with anybody, and the manager just didn't feel, wasn't as in his plans, to put it that way. So for giving Kevin a bit of stick against Stephen Dobie in my last comment, he scored an absolute worldie, a 25-yarder volley right in the top corner to win it for Linlithgow. So absolutely delighted for Kevin scoring that, and it's great for the club, delighted for the guys. But I think, bittersweet, delighted that we'd won the cup, but unhappy with the way it was kind of rolling towards the end of the season, and I knew I was leaving, not in nice circumstances, so a wee bit bittersweet there for me, Boogie.
And then obviously you left Linlithgow and made the move to Pennycook Park under Craig Meikle and Brian Ryrie, but obviously there was a family connection with your dad Murray, had played for the club back in the 1970, especially in the Scottish Junior Cup final, as I showed you at the start. I don't know if you can make it out of the camera there, his name's on my top. How special was that to follow in your dad's footsteps and join Pennycook?
Oh, really nice. I hadn't actually thought about it at the time, and then when I was actually driving through to sign, it's just a nice moment. My mum's got a scrapbook that my grandmother, my dad's mum, had kept all the years through his career, and there's loads of Pennycook stuff in there, so nice feeling. I knew the club, I knew what the club wanted to do, I knew Pennycook's ambitions, and it was the icing on the cake, to be honest, just to know that my dad had played there, 30, 40 years prior. So it was nice touch.
And your debut season at Pennycook, we finished fifth in the Premier League, but we also made it to two semi-finals that year. If you recall, we got to the East of Scotland semi-final and the Fife and Lothian semi-final, and we'll not talk about the results, but did that maybe vindicate your decision to join the club as well when you see us get to the latter stages of Cups?
Absolutely. I think before, that's what I said, before I joined Pennycook, I knew where the club wanted to go. And without, I don't know, sounding maybe a bit arrogant, I'd done quite a lot prior to that. And it was, I think you need to try and keep yourself motivated and focused on a goal. There was before I signed for Pennycook, there was a couple of Super League teams looking to sign me, and I thought, without being disrespectful to them, they were kind of mid-table Super League teams, probably going to go there, and I don't know, see out the remaining days of my junior days playing football in the middle of the Super League. So I saw it as a challenge. Craig and Brian sold it to me as that, help us get into the Super League and try and establish ourselves. So to me, that was my motivation for joining Pennycook. as well as knowing Brian and Craig and knowing what they can bring to the table as well. I knew a lot of the guys at Pennycook. I'd played against them, so I knew exactly the type of player that was there. So, yeah, I was really excited to join. Really excited.
And I think your experience played a big part of that year. And then in your second season at the club, we finished fourth. But I think that season's remembered more for we lost out on promotion on the final day at Broxburn. Just how big a blow was that to see it come undone on the last day of the season?
Yeah, pretty, at the time, pretty gutting. I remember that day, I remember the changing room was just silent. It was pretty gutting. But looking back, in hindsight, would we have benefited if we had gone up that year? Looking at our squad, and again, I touched on it earlier about being able to have a good depth in squad. And I know Craig would have added to the squad, but I don't know. Maybe it was too soon to go up that year. And I, you know, listening to Ryan's podcast a couple of weeks ago, I agree with Ryan. I think we probably were a better team than them. But at the end of the season, you know, the table doesn't lie. We weren't good enough to go up. But I remember a couple of times we gave them a bit of a doing, the two times we played them on grass. And it goes back to the old AstroTurf argument. I don't think, to be honest, my whole time at Pennycook, I don't think we ever won a game through there. Well, I can't remember winning a game on the Astro against Broxburn. But yeah, looking back at the time, yeah, gutted. But looking back with hindsight, I think maybe it was right that we didn't go up. Maybe it would have been too early for us. Because we were starting to build a wee bit. I think Craig just needed to add a couple more pieces to the squad. Game changers that can come off the bench, or if you get injuries or suspensions, guys that can come in and be game changers. And I still don't think at that time we had that in depth.
And then your third season, we sadly again missed out on promotion, finishing fifth this time as the obviously your reconstruction was coming in and it was four teams going up. But how big an impact do you think that season had with the seemingly never-ending Celtic Cup tie? It was, I think, 9 weeks in a row it was called off at Celtic, and we ended up playing them at Oakley. And yeah, I think if you remember that match, you got sent off, which I still think was the wrong decision. But
I felt a wee bit hard done by with that decision. I think I was given maybe a couple of minutes before it. I think I was giving the ref a bit of an earful on another decision. So I think it was maybe my face and my voice were fresh in his mind at the time. And I think I just remember it happening. Can't remember who it was. They bent their run, I think, along the line we were holding. And I never really touched them, to be honest. And he went down. The ref was running for about 20 yards away with a card out already. Couldn't get out quick enough. And I've not been sent off that many times in my career, but that was a painful one. Because I think we were the better team that day. I think, did we not equalise? Keith Barr equalised after that, I think.
No, we went 1-0 up.
Did we go 1-0 up?
Yeah, we did, aye.
Aye, and it ended up 2-1.
2-1 to them, they scored the 96th minute of injury time.
Yeah, and I'm sure it was Keith that scored our goal. We were, with 10 men, we were the better team. So yeah, disappointing. And even though I didn't feel I deserved to get sent off, you still feel responsibility. So after the game in the changing room, I'm sure Nico would have given me a hard time, and I'm fairly certain I would have been trying to defend myself. But yeah, apologise to the team. Move on.
And then on to your fourth season and better outcome this year as we finally won the Premier League and got up to the Super League. But we started that season with a 3-1 defeat at home to Kerrymuir, where you scored what ultimately proved to be your fourth and final goal for Pennycook, a goal of the season contender volley, as I'm sure you've told me many times. Do you have many memories of that goal?
I do, because I was playing Meeks used to do this every now and again. Used to really annoy me. He used to just randomly change things up. Like, so I'm sure I was playing left midfield that day.
Yeah, aye. Guy Kerr was at left back.
Yeah. Yeah, so I was playing left midfield, so I do remember it. I just remember the ball coming over, adjusting my body to get on my left, because as you know, my right is pretty much for standing on. So I need to swing something at good connection, bottom corner, good goal, but disappointed to lose the first game of the season. I'm sure Kieran Muir got relegated that season.
He did, Jeff.
Yes. I thought so. We got there in the end, though.
The one, obviously, the big cloud over that season was the passing of Jeff Gray in September. But what was your relationship like with Jeff, and how hard was it to be around the club during that period?
Yeah, it was really difficult. I think my relationship with Jeff would have been fairly similar as the rest of the squad. Not just the playing staff. Just when I'm saying squad, I'm saying everybody that's involved with the club. It's just one big family, really. And Jeff was an integral part of the club. It's guys like Jeff, yourself, your dad, you know, Jimmy, Neil, all the guys. It's when you go and play for Pennycook, we're ultimately playing for you guys and the supporters that come and watch. And luckily for me, I learned that from a very early age, joining Bonnyrigg, that you're playing for guys like you. So, Jeff, the relationship's fantastic. He would do anything for you, absolutely anything for you. So it's quite hard to put into words, to be honest. It was such a horrendous part of our lives, to be honest, losing somebody so close to us. Heartbreaking, really. And for it to unfold, for it to happen in the manner that it happened, I don't know. It's hard to put into words, to be honest. But, you know, if Jeff wanted to go anywhere, I would imagine he would want to go at Pennycook Park.
Aye, having just seen us score a goal.
Yeah.
Anyway, later that season, we played Pollock, who were in obviously the West Super League at the time, and unfortunately you missed out on it. I think you maybe had a wee knock for the first game at Newlands Field, and you didn't make it for the replay at Pennycook. But do you think that really proved a sort of acid test for the squad, going up against a level opposition like that, and set us up for the rest of the season?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we markers like that in the season. The first game was at Pollock, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're going to a place like Pollock and you're coming away with a result or a replay, whatever way you take it, I think it gives the team confidence. It gives your individuals confidence, the club confidence, fans, everything. It just galvanises the team. So absolutely, it's wee markers like that that basically prove that you can go and live with these types of teams. Because make no mistake about Pollock, they're a massive club through the West. For us to go through there, and to come away with a draw, would have raised a few eyebrows.
And I remember later in that season, 17th of March, May, we beat Fauldhouse United 2-1 at Pennycook Park to finally seal the Premier League, having been promoted 10 days earlier with a win against Livingston United. But just how special was that for you to finally get over the line and win a trophy with Pennycook as well?
Oh, so special. Basically, we did... Well, we achieved what I wanted to achieve when I first signed. And as I said earlier, I think it was a culmination of a couple of years building the squad. I think when I first came in, we had a really strong 11. Weren't able to cope with injuries or suspensions. And as the years go by, you just add different pieces to the squad. And when you eventually get there, you get to the top of the hill, it's the best feeling in the world, to be honest. And to do it, I don't want to speak disrespectfully of Fauldhouse, but I remember there was a couple of comments made. I think I'm not too sure from people at Fault House, but yeah, there was a few derogatory remarks against us as a team, how we played, etc. But to go through, to go and win and do it how we did it, especially with going through the sadness of losing Jeff and stuff through that season as well, I think it showed the determination and spirit of the team. And ultimately, that's what allows you to win things, you know, the team spirit. And it was just amazing. It was a brilliant day. And for Ryan Gay to get the goal as well, that was the cherry on the cake, I think. And after listening to him a couple of weeks ago, it's amazing when you hear him speaking about it, you can hear it in his voice, the way he talks about it. Such a special moment. And again, touched on it earlier, it's for guys like you and the fans and the guys in the background that put all the hard work in as well. We're all in it together, basically. And it's a good team spirit. So, yeah, amazing.
One of my memories of that day is actually at the Navarre was I was made having a conversation with you and I said, you know, that's the first trophy I'd seen Pennycook win and I thanked you for it and I think I'd heard a rumour that you were retiring and I asked you, was that job done for you? And I always remember you said to me, no, as long as this club want me, I'm still here. I'm not leaving this club now. And we then moved on to your fifth year at the club and the Super League. I think if you could ask for a tougher start, the first five games that year, it was Newton Grange at home, Linlithgow away, Kelly at home, Bowness away, Fault House at home. But the second game is the one we talk about, the one at Preston Field, your former team, Linlithgow. But obviously, that was our first Super League win. But just what did it mean to you to go back there and to come out a 2-0 winner that 2-1 winner that day?
Brilliant. I think any time you're beating teams like Linlithgow or Kelty or Bonnyrigg, you know, they're the sort of top tier teams that you want to beat, especially beating them on their own ground. It's extra special. Playing my old team as well. Actually, I think I had a pretty good record against Linlithgow after I left them playing for Pennycook. I can't recall them in too many games. I mean, we played games, I think. We knocked them out a cup. I think Grant Killen scored a late goal against them. We knocked them out a cup. Drew with them a few times, beat them away. So we were pretty successful against them. But I think it was the manner in which we beat them that day. We just turned up. I think Newton Grange had beaten us, didn't they?
Final.
Was it a Wednesday? Yeah. They beat us midweek. And I felt that result, the 3-0 defeat was a bit harsh. It was a bit harsh on us. So it was just a case of going into that game and try to be as confident as you can be. I mean, you're going to go and play on a surface like they've got a Preston Field. And we've got good players. Yeah, we turned up that day. I think Ryan Gay scored that day as well, did he not?
He did.
I think it's funny, you know, Mikko used to get knocked about sometimes the style of play. And I think if you watch the first goal, Greg Rossi's goal, that's a brilliant team goal. It was, I think you posted it not that long ago on media. That's a really, really good goal. We played a lot of good football, had a lot of good players. Yeah, so to go back to Linlithgow and beat them 2-1, fantastic.
And later on that year as well, another sort of highlight of your time at Pennycook would have been the run to the Junior Cup quarterfinals as well. The furthest they've actually been since 1970. We beat Arfley in that run. Like Spey Valley. It was a sort of very mixed run that year. But just how disappointing was it though, the 2-0 defeat at Musselburgh in the quarterfinals? Is that maybe one of the lowlights of your time at Pennycook?
Yeah, it was really disappointing. Again, I think Mikko decided to change it up that day again. I think I was playing left midfield that day. Yeah, because he left Janny out, I think.
Yeah.
So he played me left midfield, left Janny out. I'll need to speak to Meeks about that. but yeah, that was disappointing. I think they deserve to win that day. We didn't play particularly well. Was it 2-1 it finished?
2-0.
2-0. 2-0 it finished, yeah. Yeah, bitterly disappointing to get so far and then putting a performance like that. It was yeah, pretty disappointing. But that's football. You have good days, you have bad days. You take up the chin and move on.
And we finished sixth that year in our debut season in the Super League. But did that sort of underline for you as well that maybe we'd underachieved in maybe the first few years in terms of getting up? Or was that just an improvement on the squad from what you said over the time?
Well, I think you need to establish yourself as a Super League team, I think. And I think finishing mid-table's pretty decent in your first year. We'd won a lot of points. We'd beaten a lot of good teams. On Lithgow we just spoke about. So I think it was a fair marker of where we were. But as you say, you know, going into the Super League, sort of getting promotion, Mikel added a couple of key more players. So you're starting to build a stronger squad. So yeah, possibly should have maybe finished a wee bit higher, but I would take six, no problem, in our first year in the Super League.
And then on to 2015-16, which would prove to be your final year at Pennycook. There was a little change in role for you that summer as you joined the coaching staff as player coach. Just how much of the coaching side did you have that year?
Bits and bobs, mostly helping out Whitey and Meeks. I found the transition very difficult, to be honest. I found it quite difficult not being in the changing room with the guys, being in the management room. From a coaching perspective, to be honest, it made me realise that I think once I had stopped playing football, that was me done, I think. I didn't think that there was a place for me on a coaching side, not just at Pennycook, at any team. I just didn't think it was going to be something that I would enjoy.
And that year we talked about establishing ourselves as a Super League team. That year it was sort of very up and down, wee bit of a roller coaster, to go from top of the league in October to finish in ninth. Did that sort of just, what was it like being in dressing at that point when you're sort of inconsistent, shall we say?
It's difficult. It is difficult because one week you can't put your finger on it. One week you're putting on a really good performance and picking up 3 points against a game decent sides. The next minute you're maybe dropping points against weaker sides in the league where you shouldn't be. So as a player, as a squad, it's frustrating because all you want to do is go out and, you know, it's not for the want of trying. I've always given 100%, and all the guys I've played with, I've always given 100%. So sometimes it doesn't look like that from the side. And I can totally get that. I watch Hibs every second week at Easter Road and I get frustrated. So I see that side of it as well. But yeah, it's just frustrating. The lack of consistency. But I don't know, was there other factors for that? Did we have injuries? I can't think that far back. I know it wasn't that long ago. But I can't recall if we had any really bad injuries to people. Ryan McCallum probably had an injury. He gets one quite often. And he's such a focal point. When he played, he was such a focal point for us. Main player up front, you know, holding the ball up for us, chipping in the goals. So there's every chance Rizal could have been injured. I don't know. Yeah, frustrating. Very frustrating. Especially, you want to build on the sixth place finish that you had the year before. So, ninth place, not good enough. Could do better. Would be on the report card.
And I remember towards the end of the season, it became clear that you were retiring at the end of that campaign. And I've actually got a memory of Ryan Gay's testimonially, Mikel trying to convince you on the sidelines of staying on for another year. And you sort of, I think you turned your back and sort of started a conversation with somebody else. But that led on to your final match for the club, and I think there's not many worse ways to sign out than winning a Fife and Lothians Cup in your final game, beating Bonnyrigg 3-1 as well, given that, was it maybe poetic, you started your junior career with them and ended it with a cup final win against them?
I was just about to say that, yeah, it's gone full circle. That was just an amazing day, you know. We'd won the league for you guys, and then I remember having a conversation with you personally, you know, you wanted a trophy, you wanted a, a cup and you wanted one of the big ones. So to get the Fife and Lothians against Bonnyrigg, it was amazing. It's hard to say which moment was better, getting promotion, winning the league to the Super League or winning that cup. I think nobody gave us a chance in that cup final. I think internally we knew we had a good team. I think it's funny when these games come about. I think we played Bonnyrigg the week before in a league game and they absolutely hit us.
10 days before they beat us 4-0 at New Dundas.
4-0, yeah. It was 4-0 going on about 6 or 7 as well, I think. It could have been a lot worse. Granted, we had played a weakened team in that game. I think we had a few injuries. I think Meeks was trying to keep players for the final. Or did we have the semi after that up in Kerry?
No, we played the semi the midweek before the Bonnyrigg game.
Right, yeah. So Meeks would have been trying to keep players, but nobody gave us a chance. And that's, I think Bonnyrigg won the Super League that year. They were a brilliant, they were really good team, strong squad. But we had a really good team as well. And we knew that if they underestimated us, I don't know if they did or they didn't. But we thoroughly deserved. It wasn't a smash and grab by any means. I thought we were the better team that night and thoroughly deserved the win. It was just great, the celebrations afterwards. It's what you play football for, really. To have moments like that with your teammates, brilliant.
And then obviously that left you then left Pennycook after that, and we sort of, the club moved on, we got a huge sort of transitional summer. But looking back on your time at Pennycook, what would you say was the sort of best moment for yourself wearing the blue and white?
Mentioned the league victory, the Fife and Lothians. I'm just proud of the squads that I was part of to help us establish Pennycook and help. I'd like to think I was part of the guys that helped Pennycook get where they are now. A really strong, well-established, I was going to say junior team, junior super, or not, you're a, what is it, an Eastern Scotland section team, I don't know, what is it now?
Eastern Scotland Premier Division.
Eastern Scotland Premier Division. And, you know, looking at the teams that are in the Lothian League, Pennycook should be in the Lothian League as well. I think it's just a matter of time, and just being part of a group of guys that helped Pennycook establish the club to what it is at the moment, that's probably, it's not a proud moment, it's a proud series of moments, I would say.
And like you said, we've sort of moved on from them, but what's your sort of views on where the club is now over the last sort of 4 years since you've departed?
It's just kicked on, I think, massively. I think you're a big part of that as well, Dougie. I'm not just saying that because you're sitting in front of me. I think you are. I think guys like you, loads of other guys that are doing the social media aspect for all the different clubs, you're bringing it and making it more modernised, bringing it out to everybody on all different social media streams. As I say, I'm at Easter Road, so I don't get to go and watch Pennycook that often. But I always look out for the results on Twitter, so you're always there. I think pushing the club up, I think guys like Lewis Barr, Johnny Harvey brought in a lot of the other guys, established them to take them even further up the ladder. And I think it's just a matter of time until you're in that Lothian League and you can really, really kick on. Because Pennycook is a town, it's one of the biggest towns in the Lothian, I think, and it should have a big football club as well, and it does have. You just keep progressing, you'll get there no problem at all. That's where I see in the next 4 or 5 years, I see as an established Lothian League team.
You mentioned some of the players there as well. Just want to touch on two boys that you played with that are still at the club. Aaron Somerville, who was there for your final years, now club captain, but Dawson. Daryl Young as well joined the year we won the Premier League, but that's now 8 years he's been at Pennycook. Did you ever see him lasting as long as he did, as he has?
Big Dawson's can't speak highly enough of him, to be honest. He's just first of all, he's a lovely guy. and he's a brilliant football player. So laid back, he would infuriate me sometimes because of his languid, laid back attitude. But what a football player he was. I think he's the type of player that probably could have gone senior, to be honest. I think he could have easily played lower league Scottish football, I think, and definitely got the ability. Maybe they've come and watched him and he is a bit too laid back for them, I don't know. But he seems to stroll through games. And Summy, just a goal scorer, great teammate, great guy, another great guy. That's the best thing about being involved in football. You know, speak about winning trophies and stuff, but it's all these guys that you meet. Still friends with them, still speak to them. That's the most valuable thing I've ever taken from football is the people that you meet. But yeah, those two guys, great teammates, great guys, great football players. And they should be proud of what they're doing for Pennycook.
And one thing you've mentioned a number of times is being in the dressing room as well. And after you left Pennycook, I'm not sure how many people know this, but you joined the Edinburgh South Vics and then Edinburgh South playing amateur football, and you had a trialist period with Peebles. I think this is the more stuff that you have no idea how I found this out.
How have you found this out?
I've got my ways, I've got my sources. and latterly, we're signed with Sandys as well, but was that maybe missing the dressing room camaraderie as well that brought you back?
Absolutely. It just keeps pulling you back in. You try and leave, and then before you know it, you're playing amateur football at Sockton Enclosure or on the AstroTurf or something, you know. It's a bug. It's hard. It's difficult. The amateur game's different because it's less commitment than what Pennycook is. Pennycook, you're there twice a week playing on a Saturday. You're playing far away in these loads of different places. Whereas amateur Edinburgh football, you know, you're kicking off at 12 o'clock in the afternoon, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Training once a week. Training's not really that intense. Although the team I'm playing for just now, Sandys, is pretty intense. Andrew Kiddo that used to play for Bonnerick, he's there and he takes the training and it's really intense stuff, to be honest. The changing room, it's been around the guys. I can thank my mate Frankie Arthur for pulling me into all these amateur teams because that's where he's been going as well. He's like, oh, just come along to training. So I end up going along to training. Before I know it, I'm playing on a Saturday. But it's great. As you say, the changing room, it's what it's all about. And again, I'm meeting new guys and new dressing rooms and becoming friends. And as I said, that's the best thing that you can get out of playing football. I say to my son Murray, he's football daft, and you know, later on in life, if he decides to go travelling, you know, Australia or whatever, just join a football team. You've got 20 mates straight away. Changing rooms, hard to leave them.
And before I let you go, just one more thing I wanted to ask you was, obviously you were at Pennycook for 6 years, but do you have a message for the supporters that watched you for that period of time?
Just thanks a lot for the support that they gave me personally and they gave the team. Probably had many bad games, but they never got on my back. They always encouraged me and supported me. I was just happy that I was part of a club that was able to repay them for their support. Just a massive thank you to everybody. I still, every now and again, speak to a couple of them and maybe bump into them or get a message on social media from them. So, yeah, absolutely. Everything that I tried to achieve with Pennycook and did achieve was for them, obviously for yourself. So, massive thank you. Massive thank you. Made my life a lot easier. When you're playing fullback, you've always got some fan in your ear. So, when you're on one side, it's the opposition giving you stick, and when you're on the home side, it's your home fans. So, luckily for me, they were very nice to me.
Sorry, you can just say Billy King, it's fine.
I could never understand what Billy King was saying, so...
Anyway, Mikey, thanks for coming on, and I'll let you get away.
Thanks for having me. Again, the content that you're providing for the club, for everybody out there to see, is amazing. The work that you put in is outstanding. So thanks very much. I get to keep up to date with players, ex-players, all the rest of it on your social media. So thanks, Dougie. Thanks. Keep up the good work.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure having you on, and we'll catch you up next time.
Yep. I'll see you soon, mate.
Cheers, Mikey. Cheers.